Tigers are going to win the Premiership in 2017. The Tigers have come home for the first time in 37 years.
Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is. Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7. I'm Ben Pascuzzi, and I'm joined by Neve Felton. Neve, how are we?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And it's a particularly good morning to get on the Sports Desk because there's been a lot going on in the sporting world, hasn't there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like in the last, 10 hours, maybe, I want to say, there's been a lot going on. So
12,
there's going to be no shortage.
Yeah, 12-ish. We were up late. The latest
Rounding
was
the
10
sports
hours
news,
ago. So what's happened? Cricket.
Well, Lehman's resigned after the test. So he'll coach out the rest of the test and then he'll resign as Australia's coach, which I think makes sense. Even if he didn't, we were talking off air before, like even if he didn't have a part in it, it's kind of happened under your watch, so you have to take responsibility as a coach. But I think it's a bit tricky to try and get a coach like 11th hour for the test. So it makes sense. I think he coaches out the rest of it and then goes on his merry way.
Yeah, so for those who have been living under a rock and have absolutely no clue what's going on with the Australian cricket team. So Darren Lehman last night, he stepped down from his role. He will step down after the fourth test, which in fact starts tonight, which is just fantastic. We can actually watch some cricket rather than talk about all these incidents. And the incidents we're referring to is that Cameron Bancroft, David Warner and Steve Smith were involved in a ball tampering incident. What has been told and what has been revealed in an investigation by Cricket Australia is that Warner showed Bancroft how to tamper with the ball using sandpaper. Smith merely went up and basically said, I don't want to hear any of it. He saw them. Warner showing Bancroft how to tamper with the ball and basically just said, I don't want any bar of it. And then stupidly Bancroft went on with the plot. And obviously, because there's a million cameras at cricket, he got caught. Press conference afterwards, basically both Smith and Bancroft admitted it. Warner never admitted it. But nevertheless, they have all been banned. So Warner and Smith, they've been suspended for 12 months. So that's around about 13 test matches, includes no IPL, no Tour of England, two tests in Bangladesh, an India test series, a Sri Lanka test series, and a New Zealand white ball series. So that's all the cricket that they'll be missing. Along with, of course, they're only allowed to play grade cricket during that time. They cannot play any Sheffield Shield cricket. And the same suspension is for Bancroft, except it is only 9 months, so he misses a little bit less of cricket. However, because it is that they're missing out on state and international level, the WACA rules, which is the Western Australian Cricket Association, their rules state that if a player is suspended from international state level, that also applies to grade level cricket. However, I think she was the chairman, or I can't remember her position, but she was at the Bancroft presser. She basically said that we're willing to negotiate that, and clearly they love Bancroft and they want to see him play grade cricket there, so they're willing to change their laws to accommodate for that. The other implications here from the findings are that Warner, he's no longer eligible for a leadership role, and Smith and Grant Bancroft, they are to wait 2 years before being considered for a leadership position.
Makes sense.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, interesting that Warner was the one that didn't kind of like admit to it straight up, but he's the one who's copying
That's Warner.
Yeah, exactly.
And all he's done is, well, Bancroft and Smith, we'll get quickly to their presses, but all Warner's done so far is he's put out Instagram or Twitter?
I saw a screenshot on Twitter, but I think it was a screenshot from Instagram.
Okay, yeah. So it would have been a screenshot, whatever it was. He just basically put up a social media post And then he arrived in Sydney late last night after Lehman resigned and just basically told the media, give me a couple of days, I need to spend time with my family, recoup, and then I'll get back to you. Whereas Smith and Bancroft pretty much straight off the plane have fronted the media. A couple of key quotes. We'll go, and if you haven't seen it, it's pretty hard to watch. Both players were extremely emotional, and particularly Smith struggled to get through the entire interview. And mind you, that Smith interview, I think it was there was a member from the Kyle and Jackie O show who asked an absolutely stupid question.
I heard about it, but I haven't like had a chance to like watch the full thing, but I haven't heard about it, and I know that people were like, oh, don't report on it because then you have to like give the person attention, but I don't actually know what it was. So.
It was basically what he did was he basically said that the listeners, they don't think it was as bad as some incidents that happened at Married in First Sight. It's like the two. Is it like Dean?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
I don't know. I read it. But
I
like,
only have a certain amount of brain cells left. And I'd rather spend them on something else.
They said their listeners don't think it's as high as that stupid incident on some reality TV show.
Okay,
and he has the guts to say that to Smith, who's clearly beside himself.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I've got, like, cringy secondhand embarrassment from that. That's bad.
Yeah, it was...
We would never do that here on Sports Desk.
No, of course not. No. That's terrible. We're serious about sport here on the Sports Desk. We do have some fun, but
Kyle and Jackie O, so it's kind of like, what did you expect?
Yeah, it's kind of... as soon as I heard the voice, I'm like, okay, clearly FM radio. And he says, oh, I'm from the Kyle and Jackie O show. I'm like, okay, this is not... I was surprised that they actually hadn't stopped him as soon as he said Kyle and Jackie O show.
Like, I feel like that's such a big press conference. Like, how do you get the right media accreditation for that? Like, surely you would have to...
Yeah, but even the New South Wales... The bloke who was pretty much pointing to everyone for the questions, he surely could have picked up on, like, okay, this is clearly going to be taking the mickey out of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle and Jackie O show. They don't talk sport. They just talk, okay, we're not going to talk down the show.
No.
But, yeah, let's stop giving them promotion that they want.
Exactly.
So, Bancroft, pretty much to put his presser in a summary, he was basically extremely disappointed, regrets his actions. He admitted to lying about the sandpaper, and he said that he panicked in that situation because after the test match, what he did was he said that he used yellow tape to gather dirt particles from the pitch to use to alter the condition of the ball. And one quote which really stands out for me, and I think most of the media, is that this is what he says: "The thing that hurts me the most is that I've just given up my spot in the team to somebody else for free." That really hits home at the person who he is and how much I think he's going to want to fight back to get and win his spot back in the test team. Do you think Bancroft will come back?
I think so. I think he's young enough that he can come back, and everyone kind of...
He's 25, so he's got plenty of time.
Yeah, and I think most people understand that he was kind of like allegedly, it sounds like Warner kind of went up to him as like a more junior player and was like, oh, here's how you do this. Like, this is all good. And kind of used his influence over Bancroft. So I think most people understand that Bancroft was just kind of like led astray and probably under a lot of pressure and like wants to retain his spot. So, of course, he's going to be nice to the vice captain sort of thing. So I reckon Bancroft's definitely a chance to come back.
Yeah.
And I don't think he will have... I mean, I'm a bit like, oh, that sucks. I feel that instead of being like, oh, you know, he wasn't like strong enough or whatever to say no, I just feel like it must have got to a point with the team that he didn't feel like he was in a position to say no. So I feel more for the entire team in a way to be like, oh, well, the culture's gotten to the point where like people feel like they can't stand up for like, you know, what's right or like what's actually in the spirit of the game. So I think generally people share that sentiment. I think Bancroft should be right to come back in 9 months.
Yeah, I think Bancroft will come back. We'll touch on the culture a little bit later on, but yeah, I think Bancroft's... And if you put anyone in that situation, they're fresh-faced into the test squad. I think he's only played about... Well, he played the Ashes, so that's five, and that was the third test. So that was his eighth test match in the Australian cricket team. He's new. He gets a senior member of the squad, a vice-captain, telling him how to tamper with the ball. I mean, I don't see how Bancroft could have said no. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's pretty much forced to do it, and you're going to do it. You don't really want to rough feathers especially from a leadership standpoint in the leadership team and when you're making your way into the test team, and especially under the scrutiny Bancroft's been under for like not making runs and all that. And to his credit, he actually started to top score for the team. So, yeah, I see this was just a no-win situation for Bancroft, and I feel he's the one who's copped the most, not the most, but like he's been in the most wrong position out of all of them. So like I definitely feel for him, and I'm rooting for him to come back strong and earn his way back into the test team. Now the Smith presser, did you watch that one?
I've watched like the little snippets that were put up on the Cricket Australia Twitter, but I didn't have a chance to kind of sit down and watch it.
Yeah, well this was, I thought the Bancroft one was emotional, but this one was just a new level. Smith basically got through the interview, so he was, some of his quotes were like, good people make mistakes. It was an error in my judgment. I don't blame anyone else. He took full responsibility, admitted it was a failure of his leadership. He knows it was a big mistake allowing this to happen, huge error of judgment, and he'll regret this for the rest of his life. Yeah. He's gutted, and he hopes in time he can earn forgiveness. However, at the very end, when he's talked about how he could see his parents, the way his mum and dad were very emotional, he just broke down. And that was very tough to watch as a Steve Smith fan, a sports fan in Australia. And it's just like, it's amazing to see the toll that this tampering incident has taken on them. And yeah, it was very, very hard and sad to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Warner, yeah, so as we said, he did a Instagram post or screenshot, however you want to put it. He'll speak in a couple of days. And then Lehman, he resigned last night in his presser. A couple of quotes there. He admits that he's ultimately responsible for the culture of the team, which we will get back to. He said that his family and himself has copped a lot of abuse over the last week and it's taken a toll on them.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, people who kind of go after other people's families. I think that's just pathetic.
Yeah, it's even with Warner as well. What's it called? The girlfriends and the wives of Smith, Warner and Bancroft have copped an absolute hammering.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't think it's fair to go after anybody's families like that. I think, like, Smith and Warner and Bancroft are big boys, and I don't think their partners had anything to do with it. And it's kind of, but it's happened before where people blame the partners. Like, what was that tour of England and we weren't doing really well? And it was obviously because the partners came along and all this sort of stuff. And it was just like,
there's a lot about Clark as well when he was with Bingle.
Yeah, well, that was a lot about that. Was, I feel like that's a whole that, like, that's just something plot that line on mind. Itself. But yeah, it's that sort of thing where people were, I think when you put people in these like position, like on a pedestal, and you can't really accept the fact that, like, I mean, they're adults. They know that actions have consequences. And if you're going to cheat, then you have to be prepared to accept what's going to happen to you. And I think the sad part is that, we're going to talk about the culture in a bit, but it's like the culture's got to the point where they were so wrapped up in it that they couldn't see, like, the consequences. If you're like, oh, well, I'm going to tell you to get a bit of sandpaper out, where there's, like, cameras everywhere. We've got HD TV now. Like, there's no way you can say that that was, like, a piece, like, you know, your sunglasses cloth or something like that. Like, there's absolutely no way that you can get away with that anymore. And they've got to the point where it's become so much about winning and they have to win and that blah, 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 that they can't stop and be like, oh, this is actually a really terrible idea and it's going to land us in a lot of hot water.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's why I think it's the best that Lehman has stepped down. Like, obviously, he said, even the press conference, he says that, that he had no, here we go. As you stated before, he had no prior knowledge of the incident, and obviously he doesn't condone what happened, but good people can make mistakes, which was sort of echoed in Smith's one. He had to go, regardless of knowledge or whatever.
I think it's
the culture he's set, and I think that's the bigger issue here than
they've
the actual incident.
They've got to have a bit of a clean out.
Exactly.
And like, I think it would be good for people like
Renshaw
to come in
as well.
Yeah, I love Renshaw, so I think he'll do a good job, and he seems like, because I mean, in his press conference after the Sheffield Shield, like, final and they'd won. And someone was like, oh, you're getting on a plane at 11 to go to South Africa. And he's like, oh, am I? But he just wanted to talk about like the Shield win, which I think is good because I think he just...
And I think he was disappointed as well that he didn't get to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. Well. Yeah, exactly.
Because he just won the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah, you'd want to be hanging out with your teammates, having a nice time. And instead, you're going to go to South Africa to step in for someone who cheated. So interesting for him. But I think it'll be good to have the newer players kind of come in and they get a chance. And hopefully they can kind of turn things around a bit.
All right, so that ends part one of our cricket segment. We will get back to all about the new players, culture, all this sort of stuff after this quick song. You're listening to Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7 with Ben and Neve, and we're going to head into part two of our cricket chat. And we just finished part one talking about the new kids on the block who have entered into the Australian Test team for the fourth test, which starts tonight, 7 p.m. The team will now include Joe Burns and Matt Renshaw from Queensland and Glenn Maxwell from Victoria. Are we happy with all three replacements?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a big Maxwell fan. I love Maxi. I don't know why. I feel like, you know, when you're a kid and you have like one particular player that you just really like and there's absolutely no reason for it? That's me, because I'm just like a glorified child. And every time, like, watching the Stars, I'd always be like, Maxi's on telly, like an actual child. Like, it was, like, I don't know.
He's so exciting to watch.
Yeah, and I think he's, like, he's a bit, like, funny. He's a bit different. Like, I think, like, I mean, I do think, like, Steve Smith is a really good cricket player, but he's very, like, cut, you know, straight down the line, like, white bread sort of thing. And I think Maxi adds a bit of personality, which is probably why I like having him in the team. I mean, he plays cricket well as well. So that. But, like...
That's a bonus.
Yeah,
that's
so I'm a big like Maxwell fan. I really like Renshaw as well. I didn't see him getting dropped at the start of the summer from like
I don't
the
think
last...
anyone did.
No, I didn't kind of and I mean it turns out to have gone all right, but I was not expecting it. So I think like in my head he was always around the mark. And now he's had a nice like we were talking about before, like he's won the Sheffield Shield, so that's probably like good for him. I mean, kind of I think it worked out for Renshaw in the end because he didn't like have to be part of this like ball tampering side. He got to win the Shield and now he gets his spot back.
The team.
So, I mean, at the start of the summer, I was pretty mad. I was like, they've really stitched up Renshaw here, but it's actually turned out to be really good for him. So congratulations to Renshaw. And sorry, who was the third?
Joe Burns.
I completely forgot. Oh yeah, Joe Burns. Yeah. And like just another good player, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. I'm a big like Maxwell and Renshaw fan.
I knew that this was gonna happen. All right.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't have the Joe the same Burns, emotional attachment to Burnsy. So.
Yeah, Joe Burns has pretty much been on the cusp now ever since he got dropped. He's been performing extremely well for the Queensland Sheffield Shield team, so he's definitely deserved his spot. So he will open the batting with Matt Renshaw, who I'm happy with all three pretty much. Renshaw obviously was disappointing that, and quite shocking that he did get dropped for the first Ashes test because he had played all the previous test series for the team and he actually done quite well.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a surprise, but yeah, his Sheffield Shield form at the time wasn't the greatest, but now I think he's on the back of fair few hundreds, like around 300 or 400 at least in the second part of the Sheffield Shield season. He's just taken it simple. So good to see him back. And then obviously Maxwell, who's an absolute run machine. He was stiff to not make the Ashes squad and this squad also. So good to see him in it. Whether he plays, because Pete Hanscom's still over there. So Pete Hanscom may very well replace Smith. So until tonight, until they do the toss, we will find out. And I think that's a good segue, actually, speaking of the toss, because we will have a new captain, number 46, I believe it is, of Australian Test captains.
Yep.
Tim Payne.
Yeah.
And he's only the fourth ever wicketkeeper to be in the captain. So what do we make of Timmy Payne being the new captain of the Australian cricket team?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. Like, it wasn't, like, not a year ago or whatever, he was just playing, like, grade cricket, wasn't he? Or is that...
Yeah,
club
he was playing club cricket and he was considering quitting and moving over here to Victoria, actually, and working in the Kookaburra factory.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, big turnaround. And I saw on Twitter someone had got the front pages from all the, like, state newspapers, like Herald Sun, Daily Telegraph, blah, 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 and that all had, like, Smith on the front being, like, you know, him coming back and, like, the picture with the bodyguard and all that sort of stuff. But then the one from Tasmania was, like, Tim Payne's the captain. Like, ooh, Tassie Tim. So I thought that was cute. And it kind of, like, you can look, like we're talking about with, like, Renshaw gets his spot back, like, Maxwell gets his spot back. Like, they're good, like, you know, silver linings. And so I think as well is Tim Payne getting to be captain, because it kind of like rounds out his like return to international cricket.
Oh, it's a really good feel good story.
Yeah.
For Tim Payne. So yeah, like we said, he was pretty much going to give up the game. He was such a prestigious talent coming through the Tasmanian ranks. He represented Australia, I believe, it was around 08, 09, or no, maybe 10, 11. Yeah, it was around 2010, 11. And then obviously he had a lot of finger injuries, and that pretty much stuffed up his entire career, which is the reason why he pretty much considered giving up the sport. Yep. And now at age 33, he gets called up into the test squad, and he's the captain now from Smith. So it's a great story. I agree with it. I think he pretty much was the best man for the job. I think there was talk about potentially Mitch Marsh becoming captain, but I just...
Yeah.
He's too young.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
give it to
well,
him.
Well, that's the thing.
It's like with Smithy. Smithy was a bit young when we gave it to him also. And
yeah.
I think that's sort of...
Turn out.
Yeah, like not... Like Smithy was a good captain, but like he struggled to have control over the senior members of the team.
Yeah.
And in saying that, we're pretty much saying Warner. Like he had absolutely no control over Warner, which is why this tampering incident happened in the first place. So yeah, it's you got to pick him when they're ready. Tim Payne, he's 33.
Yeah.
He's been around the cricketing sphere for a very long time. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, me too. And I think as well, like, the fact that he was away from the game for a period of time, like, from, I mean, he was still playing cricket, but, like, away from, like, the international and state level, it's kind of like his number one, he's been away from the kind of, I don't know, I kind of imagine this sounds like this is where I'm going with this, but like a vortex sort of thing. Like I feel like they've all been like sucked in to this sort of like must win, like, and like Warner's so angry all the time and he's always like yelling at people and they're like ball tampering and like making themselves captain for Warner being captain for T20 when he can't play short format to save his life and like stuff like that. I think Payne being away from it, like, you know, he would have, like, appreciated it more that he's come back. He's older, so he knows, like, he's been around for a long time. Like, I think I feel like he'll have a nice level head to kind of finish off the series and then potentially continue to be captain for, I don't know how long.
Yeah, probably. I'd say, like, another 2 or 3 years. It wouldn't be too long, I suspect. But, yeah, it's actually perfect that he is the captain because, like you said, he can bring about this culture change. He's only been recently put into the Australian team. So he's someone who hasn't been engulfed in this horrid culture. So, yeah, the culture is just... it was a must-win culture or win-at-all-cost culture under Lehman. It was one that encouraged sledging. Personal sledging, a lot of abuse on the field. Like teams hated playing Australia because, I mean, we had the skills to beat. There's no doubting that we've got the skills to beat everyone, but it's just that we took it a bit far on the field, and we've kind of always been known for that. But just in these last couple of years, we've kind of definitely crossed the line. And in saying that, that's pretty much been like Warner. So, unfortunately for Lehman.
Yeah, he's kind of, exactly.
We're not going to hide it. We hate Warner.
Yeah, and I think...
Sorry, but like, he's not been good at all for the image of Australian cricket.
No,
and
God,
he doesn't
no.
represent anything that we're about.
You'd hope not, anyway. Yeah. Well, it's like...
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Yeah, my like dad and his family were born in England. Dad came over when he was like 8, so he goes for Australia. But my nan refuses, like, she's been here for like... Oh, I don't know. I don't know. How old's my dad? Like 40-something years, right? And she still refuses to go for Australia because, I mean, she's English, but, like, she just hates the Australian team. She reckons they're all rat bags and she doesn't want to, like, support them, so...
Fair enough as well. I'd agree with her if I wasn't as entrenched as I am in cricket at the moment.
Anyway. It's not... It doesn't look good. And, like, sledging is funny and, like, you can do it in a...
Yeah,
you know, there's all those, like, good ones... you know, like when it was, I can't remember if it was Steve or Mark Waugh, but it was like, and he said to one of them, like, oh, you're not the best cricketer in your team. He's like, you're not even the best in your family. Like, stuff like that is funny because it's just like a joke, but it's different when you start, like that's how you can talk about people's families, like as a joke, but you can't, like, I think, they cross the line. It's not sledging, I think. It's just being...
Just banter.
Yeah, but it's just like bullying even, you know what I mean? Like, it's not... it's not funny. Like, no one's laughing.
There's bullying. Banter's, like, fine.
Yeah,
banter's,
exactly.
like, perfectly fine. Like what you said, the example.
Yeah, exactly.
Question I'll put to you, speaking basically to all three, Bancroft, Warner and Smith, has the media blown this completely out of proportion? or has the media coverage that they received been fair for the actions?
It's funny. I think it's funny when you watch, like, a lot of the media and they'll come hard at them and horrible, and then when, like, Smith breaks down in his press conference, they'll be like, everybody leave him alone.
Oh, yeah. All the journos changed their tune on, like, Twitter and all this. They're like,
interesting.
I feel sorry for Smithy. And then 2 days before, they were absolutely
into him. He should be banned. Like, this is disgusting. Like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, but it, like, in this really kind of forceful way. There was a few journalists that I saw as well that were, like, that would say their opinion when nobody kind of asks, like, you're not on the deciding board. It was like, oh, this should happen, this should happen, this should happen. And I'm like, you're not on a panel. You're just tweeting. Like, you're just tweeting your opinion. Like, I don't understand where, like, your, like, authority comes from, if you know what I mean. And then, then they completely change their tune when Steve Smith. I think everyone's so, like, desperate to have, like, a hot take as soon as it happens, that they push it so hard because it's like, all right, I've got to have, like, the most kind of bold opinion or, like, set in stone sort of thing. And so they push it really hard and it gets kind of not – I think a lot of people, like, on social media would have been being nasty. I don't think the media was necessarily nasty. I think they were just kind of really, like, you know, this is the blackest day in Australian sport and all that sort of stuff. There's been a lot worse days. Like, we used to – I think it was, like, we separated – white and black South African players into two different, like, hotels and stuff like that. And that's, like, an example in cricket alone that was probably worse. I would say, like, racial segregation is probably worse than cheating, like, just, you know, in general, like, that sort of thing. And so it's not the darkest day in Australian sport. And as well...
Oh, by no stretch of the imagination.
Oh, God, no. And the other thing is that they, while it's, like, illegal under the rules of cricket, what they did is not illegal. There are a lot of sports people and sportsmen in particular who have committed actual crimes and they don't get the treatment that Smith, Bancroft and Warner have got. Like, there's, like people who, they, you know, particularly, like, thing, like, violence against women as well, which is, like, a kind of, like, a topic in the zeitgeist. Like, it's, they are not getting the treatment that, like, Smith and Warner and Bancroft have got. And I, like, that doesn't sit well because it's kind of, like, yeah, you've tarnished the reputation of Australian sport, but it's not, in the grand scheme of the universe, like, it's not the worst thing ever, and it kind of made it out to be a much bigger kind of, like, deal than it was. Well, I still think it's, like, morally wrong and against the spirit of the game, and, like, why would you want to play cricket if you're just going to cheat? Like, surely the satisfaction comes from knowing that you're a better team. It's interesting to see what standards we hold different incidents to. And, that doesn't I'm not the biggest fan of that.
Yeah, I feel they've just been treated as criminals. And the way they've acted, I believe, is just the way the media's made it out to seem is just completely out of proportion. I mean, yes, they did the wrong thing. We don't condone it, but they haven't murdered anyone.
Yeah,
they haven't
like they
smuggled
Bambi.
Drugs. Like, the way Smith... Were you able to see when Smith exited... I think it was Johannesburg Airport or whatever. He was escorted out like Chappelle Corby
It was like that, actually.
Like, it was terrible to watch. Like, he's not a criminal. He's a cricketer. And it's just... At the end of the day, it's a game.
Yeah,
it's cricket.
It's just
and
sport.
For this country to... I know the Australian cricket team is, like, without a doubt, it is our most loved sporting team. I think we can all agree national teams, it is our national
team. There's all the football codes, and then everyone comes together
for cricket.
For cricket, yeah.
Exactly. And, I just had a mental blank there for a second. And the Australian captain has always been seen as the second best or top job in the country behind the Prime Minister.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how high cricket is in our country, but... To completely condemn these players has just been absolutely awful. And I think the press interviews from these two players pretty much showed the toll it's taken on them and the fact that they should not be treated in this manner. Regardless of bans or however you want to put it, like, we can agree or disagree on the bans, I think we can all agree that the treatment, the criminal-like treatment that they've copped is just completely blown out of proportion and unacceptable.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw somebody on Twitter as well made the point, like, what happened with James Heard, like, obviously, like, made a massive mistake as well. People went after him and hounded him, and he ended up becoming really ill. So it's that sort of thing where you have to remember that, yeah, they made a mistake, but, at the same, like we were saying, like cheating, like, is not the worst thing in the world. Like, people don't deserve to feel that terrible about themselves for cheating. Like, the stuff with Heard, I think, is, like, a bit worse definitely worse than what happened with the cricket, but it's that, like, you have to be careful because you don't, like, you're going to, like, Smith and stuff are going to be racked with that much guilt. Like, it's going to take them months to, like, come to terms with what they've done, and it's not, no one's going to be helpful by kind of reminding them constantly and then kind of, yeah, blowing it out of proportion as well.
And it's not like this cheating is a once-off in cricket. Ball tampering happens all the time, whether we like it or not. Every team does it in some way, shape or form. Yep. Even the team that we're playing against, Faf du Plessis has been caught twice. He's been caught twice. Yeah, the current captain of the South African team, who actually pretty much told the cameraman, well, watch these guys, he's tampering. I mean, what a joke. He's been caught twice. Vernon Philander, current fast bowler for the South African team, has also been caught twice. So I think it's a bit rich coming from the South Africans to be saying, Faf du Plessis actually came out, I think it was this morning or late last night, saying that he doesn't believe it was the first time it's happened in this test series. I mean, of course you'd know. You'd know everything about ball tampering, wouldn't you, Faf du Plessis? So I think it's just completely rich coming from the South Africans, mind you. But, yeah, this cheating and ball tampering isn't a one-off in cricket. It happens all the time. Teams always try and do it. They always do this type of tampering. The treatment's just been absolutely horrid anyway. We've talked so much on cricket. We'll just finish on one more thing. The coach. Who do we think is the best man for the job?
I have no
idea. To replace Lehman.
Because I kind of came to the... When Lehman was like, oh, I'm not resigning. I was like, okay, cool. So he'll stay the coach.
Sweet.
And then I was looking at all the other stuff. And now it's kind of like... Okay, so we do need a new coach. I mean, I know that... I mean, I really like the personalities in cricket. So I want to see Gillespie as the coach. But I don't know. Dizzy. I'm really not sure. He's the best.
Yeah, I think Langer is the favourite. Justin Langer is the favourite at the moment to take the team. But I think the goal and the dream of of Cricket Australia would be to appoint Ricky Ponting. Whether or not Punter wants to do the national coaching job is another question.
It would be good to get everyone back on board with the team as well, because, I mean, most people...
Yeah, if Punter wants to be Australian cricket coach, even though Langer is favourite, I think they'll go Punter. So, yeah, it's definitely out of Langer, Ponting and Gillespie. Langer's the front runner, but I think it's all down to Ricky Ponting's decision whether or not he does want to take on the mantle of the head coach of the Australian test or the Australian cricket team. All right, that's our wrap-up of the whole cricketing saga. Mind you, there is some cricket being played tonight. At 7 o'clock, you can watch it on Fox Sports. It is the fourth test between Australia and South Africa. Should be a good match. After this, we'll be talking some AFL.
You are on SYN 90.7 on the sports desk with Ben and Neve. I was about to say Michael and Neve because I'm used to Michael being
Michael's
here. But I remember
still in our hearts. Because,
yeah, exactly. He's here in spirit. We've got Ben... Neve and Michael in spirit.
We forgot. You can text us in on 0447 519 170. That number again, 0447 519 170. Any thoughts on our cricketing chat or what you'd like us to talk for the remainder of the show, which we'll get
through on a scale
pretty
of 1 to 10,
quickly.
How much do you blame Warner?
Yeah, I think we're at about a 21, so we are off the charts there. Okay, so AFL, it did happen last night.
Yep.
Round 2 kicked off Thursday night, the grand final rematch between Adelaide and Richmond. It was really something we wanted to see, how Adelaide would perform after the week they've had. They've been under heavy scrutiny from the media, obviously.
Yeah, with their camp, their cult camp.
That camp got leaked out. Tex Walker not particularly happy. I don't know, all this hoopla. They came out and they put in a very good performance against Richmond, defeating them by 36 points. It was a pretty close match throughout it. It was only 2 goals at halftime, but yeah, the Crows pretty much kicked on from there. Josh Jenkins and Taylor Walker combined for 9 goals, Jenkins kicking 4. Some good signs from the youngsters there. Darcy Fogarty, he looks like a mini Taylor Walker, and I love his aggression. He's one to watch. Fogarty, he kicked 2 goals.
We've got to come up with a nickname. I saw somebody called him the Fogwarts Express.
The Fogwarts Express, I like that.
Yeah,
just the fog. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Just
rolling
go
fog.
The fog.
I'm trying to think of something else. Yeah. But I think Fogg was
gonna be a superstar.
It was like stopping all stations to Goldtown or something. I don't know.
Going to, I don't know, Hogwarts, Fogwarts, whatever.
Yeah.
And then another one. This is a really good story. Lockie Murphy. He's a mate of mine. I'll try and get him on the show sometime later in the year.
Here we go. Name dropping.
Yeah. Second game of the season. He booted two goals, but he didn't get drafted last year. He went to the... He was on the Adelaide Crows rookie list. And I forgot to mention him last week, so I've got to give him some slack this week. Yeah, kicked two goals. He was on the rookie list last season for the Crows. He was actually working in the Adelaide merchandise store.
Oh, that's cool.
And he trained every day of the preseason, earned his way into the squad for round one. He's pretty much exactly what they needed. They needed like a small forward to kind of replace that Charlie Cameron. He is a hard-running player. And I think he's going to cement his spot again for round three. So,
yeah, well, I feel like if you kick two goals, you're probably...
So this is a fantastic story of persistence and just never giving up. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, keep an eye there on Lockie Murphy. No bias whatsoever at all. Just do keep an eye on him.
Sounds good.
An incident, however, that happened in this match was there was a which will come under scrutiny from the match review panel, the sole match review panel. Mm. David Mackay... Is it David?
I think so. Whatever.
Mackay.
Sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar, yeah, from Adelaide. He was concussed from a hit from Josh Caddy. Now, for those who haven't seen the incident, Neve just watched it for the first time here just before.
It's confusing.
It is
very confusing.
Mackay, he handballs the ball, and Caddy, what I see is he's going for the ball. He misses the ball because the ball goes over his hand, and he continues with it and gets Mackay in the head. And obviously, that contact was hard enough and strong enough to make him concussed. My view is that he was going for the ball and purely just missed it. However, the contact to the head is something that's come under heavy scrutiny in the AFL and will most likely see him, unfortunately, rubbed out. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it looks bad. Like, at first glance, you're like, okay, he definitely meant to, like, smack him across the chops. But then when we watched it back a couple of times, it looks like he's going for the ball. So they could, if they were to, I feel like he'll get suspended and then Richmond potentially could challenge it and be like, no, like, look at that.
I'd like to see him challenge it because I think he is originally going for the ball, and because he wanted to hit it hard, he's just gone through and hit him in the head.
Like, yeah, and I feel like
the Tigers... It is clumsy though.
Yeah, so, and the Tigers would be like in all sorts, I think, for that game. Like, I saw a lot. People were like, oh, Jack Graham's going to be so confused because he's like, one, never played in front of like an away, you know, quiet crowd, and two, he's never lost a game. And it was kind of, and I think Richmond, I mean, last week, Caddy was really up and about. He was like giving it to people, telling them what he thought of them, I think a little bit. And
you're a bit popular.
Yeah. No, it's just from, one of the people, I'm just trying to get my shift covered, but, I think, it looks bad. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he got suspended for it or at least offered like a substantial fine. But he was kind of, I wouldn't be surprised if he did, like, kind of, yeah, I don't know. It looks bad. Like, you could argue that he's going for the ball, but you could also argue that he was going for the ball, but at the same time wasn't afraid to give Mackay, a piece of his mind with his forearm.
So what I think will happen is he will get suspended for a week or, like, it'll have to be a week. Richmond will challenge it, and I think Caddy will get off, because they'll prove that he was going for the ball. But you never know. He's made contact with the head.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about the Richard Douglas suspension?
Oh, again, he's made contact with the head. But that one was different. Like, he had a chance to go for the footy, and he went past the ball and bumped him.
Yeah,
so whenever you do that, that's the fault. Caddy there, clearly the ball's in play.
He's
trying to go for it.
Football,
so that's why I think he'll get off when he challenges it. Because I think the match, they'll just ban him for a week. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. But
we'll find out today, won't we? Now, because it's just the one man thing. Do we get to, don't you find out?
I'm not sure.
I know Friday. Like, I know they were like, oh, Friday night games. We'll find out on Saturday otherwise they had to wait from Friday
night
till
Monday. Rings a bell.
So I'm assuming if Friday to Saturday you get to find out. I would assume Thursday to Friday.
Let's
I mean, it's
so.
A public holiday, so I don't know if my Christian is going to be at work today, but we'll see how
we'll,
we go.
We'll
if they
find
play
out.
Football now, they should be all at, like, Footy HQ getting it done.
Yeah, speaking of playing footy now on Good Friday, we're just going to get through a really quick preview of all the games and just give our predictions. So, North St Kilda today?
Saints, for mine.
Saints as well. Carlton Gold Coast?
Carlton.
Gold Coast.
Ooh.
Collingwood Giants?
Giants.
Yep, Giants. Brisbane, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Brisbane. Fremantle, Essendon.
Oh, you tip your own team, don't you?
I don't know. I don't like doing it because I always like tipping against the team.
Yeah,
because then
actually you get your tip right, but you lost. But
I don't
otherwise,
know.
You
I know, reckon I just got a feeling we won't win. Fremantle, Essendon.
It's in Fremantle, isn't it? Still Essendon.
Yeah, Essendon. Western Bulldogs, West Coast.
West Coast. I don't jinx my team.
I'm going to go you guys. Doggies. Sydney, you. Port.
Sydney, and yeah, that one's in Sydney as well, isn't it? Yeah, Sydney.
Sydney, and then on Monday night, I'm going to this match. Ooh. Finally, this will be good. Geelong Hawthorn.
That will be good. I think, Paddy's back.
Yeah, Paddy's back. This is the first time we're going to see Dangerfield, Ablett, and Selwood.
The Father,
in the same
Son, and the
team.
Holy Ghost for Easter.
It's going to be fantastic. So, Geelong Hawthorn?
Yeah, I'd say Geelong. I mean, people were like, oh, wow, Hawthorn really put Collingwood away, but I think it's just the fact that Collingwood are not very good.
It's just
Whereas
Collingwood.
I thought Melbourne looked really good, but Geelong still beat them. So, Geelong for mine.
Me too. All right, that wraps up AFL. We'll be back after this with our wrap up. You're listening to the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7 with Ben and Neve, and we have got a whole lot to finish the show with our wrap-up. So I forgot to mention, actually, that crowd last night was the highest attendance for a Thursday night regular season match. There was 49,743 attendants who made the trip to the Adelaide Oval last night. So biggest Thursday night crowd there. So we're going to start off our wrap-up with basketball, and we'll start off with the NBL because Game 5 of the Grand Final Series between Melbourne United and the Adelaide 36ers takes place in front of a sold-out, mind you, a sold-out Hisense Arena tomorrow night. Predictions. Who do you think will win?
Melbourne.
Who do you think will start?
Back in the home team. I'm going to say Chris Goulding because he's had a lot of experience playing with players who are arguably better than him, so he'll be able to perform under pressure. Stop laughing at me, okay? I'm doing my best.
You are. No, it's all good. Yeah, I've got Melbourne as well. I said this on the Monday show also with, like, Liam. It's like, it's pretty much it came down to game three. Whoever won that will win the series, and Melbourne won that. Obviously, Adelaide went on to win game four because that was at home, but yeah. Home court advantage, packed Melbourne, Hisense Arena. I think it will be a close match like it was in game three, but yeah, I think Melbourne United will win. Chris Goulding will most likely star, but also Casper Ware, who's been phenomenal this season.
It's a
good
name.
Little number 21 for Melbourne United. He'll do well.
It'll be good because Melbourne Boomers lost that WNBL. So Melbourne needs to win something, I think.
Yes, hopefully we do. And this will be
retain the first
time.
Retain our sporting capital, you know?
I think we'll get it. We'll have a quick look at the NBA standings. So the Raptors still lead it in the East from the Celtics, the Cavs. The 76ers are a team who are 100% exceeding expectations. They've won 8 games on the trot. I've got no bias whatsoever to the 76ers, but they are currently the 4th seed. They're in the East. The Indiana Pacers are hot in our collar, so really heating up there in the East. You'd think Philly may overtake Cleveland. I don't know. There's about 8 games to go in the season anyway. In the West, Houston still dominating. The Warriors went down to Utah, obviously, because they've still got Steph Curry out through injury. The Trailblazers and the Thunder round out the top 4 there. And then it's pretty much only one game between the Pels, Spurs, Timberwolves, and the Jazz. Actually, 2 games if you include the Clippers, and then 3 games if you include the Nuggets. So it's very close there in the West also, but we've got to keep it pretty short because we got also some rugby league, which will happen tonight. The Storm take on the Sharkies over there at Shark Park at 8:05. Do you reckon we'll get over the line?
I hope so. I feel like, I mean, we did lose to them in, it was 2016, wasn't it, in the grand final. But I think Melbourne Storm, just every time you watch them, they look strong and they look in control. Played really well. Smashed, who was it last week? Like 30-something to 14, was it?
Yeah,
I can't remember who it was.
I can't think either. Hang on, I'll get it up. Probably here. They beat hang on. Yeah, Cowboys. Let me forget that. It's the Cowboys, okay.
Yes, anyway.
Grand final rematch.
Good match last week. Smashed them. Was good.
Especially after we lost to the West Tigers in Billy Slater's 300th
game. Yeah, that's
game.
Embarrassing.
That was embarrassing. 2 points, especially to a team, the West Tigers. Ugh!
Nah.
Not good at all. So we both think the Storm will continue their winning streak.
I think so. Yeah. I think Storm are just a stronger team, and they've kind of, their trajectory since that 2016 grand final has been a lot sharper and steadier than the Sharks.
Yep.
I mean, obviously winning the grand final last year. Wasn't
Also taking place actually here at AAMI Park at Melbourne Storm's home ground, the Super Rugby, the Melbourne Rebels, they take on the Hurricanes. Mind you, the Rebels
and there's a women's curtain raiser before Brumbies versus Rebels. So if you get down early,
watch both of them. It's great value for watching the women's also. The Rebels have won four games. They've only lost the one game so far this season. It's been a complete turn of events from previous seasons. They take on the Hurricanes, who have also only lost the one game. Do we think our boys, the Rebels, will get over the line?
Hopefully. I think having the home ground advantage helps, like where they kind of train and everything. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see if people get on the Rebels like we've got on the Storm. I feel like when the Storm do well, everyone kind of pays a bit more attention to NRL. So it'll be interesting to see if we start paying a bit more attention to Super Rugby. I remember one time I was like walking around like the precinct with my friend from WA, and there was a guy from the Rebels with like standing in front of us waiting at the thing. And I was like, oh, you know, he plays for like the rugby union side.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh. And I was like, it would be different if one of, like, the Melbourne or the Collingwood or the Richmond players were walking around here. But he just, like, walked through the crowd just like
no that. No one batted an eyelid.
Yeah, there's no interest. Yeah. So we'll see if the
Rebels start,
like... And
there's still a little
start,
bit of that
like,
with the Storm as well.
Yeah, a little bit. But I feel like at least, yeah, like, there's
Imagine
a few
the Rebels
people
win.
That... Yeah, this is
What
true.
If the Rebels win the Super Rugby this year? Because this is their best chance by far.
Yeah, it'll be interesting
history.
To see if people start getting on them. I feel like a lot of people could recognise like Cam Smith and stuff like that. But I think
Cam Smith yesterday.
Yeah,
I saw
him. Spotted
him
in the wild.
I didn't really want
but
to ask
it
him.
It could
for a
be.
Photo.
I mean, he's also been on like AFL 360.
He's
a big
legend.
Hawthorn fan, so he's out and about. But like, yeah, interesting.
Cam Smith's a legend. All right, A League this week. Adelaide United take on Wellington Phoenix tonight. Who do you think will win that? Probably Adelaide.
Yeah.
Brisbane Roar, Central Coast tomorrow, and then Victory, Western Sydney on also tomorrow, and then Newcastle, Melbourne City on Sunday. So that's A-League. I think that's pretty much it for the wrap-up today. Oh, also, sorry, the Socceroos, they didn't draw with Norway. No, it was Colombia. They drew with Colombia nil-all after losing
holiday.
To
We're
Norway 4-1. And also, Channel 9 now have the rights to tennis.
Yeah,
which
weird.
Is really, really going to get...
That doesn't sit good with me.
Not at all.
Also, they mangle cricket. What are they going to do with the tennis?
It's going to be very hard to get used to, mind you. They've got
Channel 7... Sorry, I was jumping in here. Channel 7 will have... AFLW, is what I'm trying to say. More money for that, so you can broadcast more than one game a week.
Let's
similar
hope
time,
so.
Similar time of the year.
Because that was we were talking about during the season, the fact that they didn't show most of the AFLW games is just
Yeah, it's kind of like tucked
laughable.
Away on Fox Sports, so which not everybody can access. So it gives them more money, and if with the two new teams coming in as well, by 2020 we'll have four new teams, I think, off the top of my head, at least. There'll be more games. The season might have to start earlier or potentially go later because it is a winter sport. And I don't know how many games you can play up in Brisbane. I mean, we saw this season.
Well, we're going to get a new base now, which will be the women's place.
Will it have a roof?
Who knows? Anyway.
So potentially good for AFLW, but also like probably not good for tennis.
I agree. Also, may not be the best move for tennis. So Channel 9 will have the rights to the Australian Open, Davis Cup, plus all of our little tournaments like the Brisbane International, Sydney International, all that. From 2020, they've stole it for seven. They've got a $300 million deal over 5 years. So that is it for this Friday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin. You listen to Ben and Neve. It's been a pleasure, Neve. I'm glad to be back on the Friday show.
Yeah, good to have you back.
It's good to replace Michael. Also, mind you, I just remembered, he's put together a seven-minute segment. Unfortunately, we weren't able to play it today on the live show because we had so much to get through, Michael.
Yep.
So if you do want to listen to that, it will be on the podcast. So do tune in on Omni, and obviously you can get into it on Facebook and Twitter. So,
well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Pleasure to be here recording something for the Sports Desk. Fortunately, I couldn't be there in the flesh. I'm actually dressed up as an Easter Bunny today. White House needed a new Easter Bunny. Sean Spicer currently not there. So, well, as they say, you know, if you become the White House Easter Bunny, you can go on and do bigger and scarier things. Anyway, let's move on to the sport this round. Of course, a lot of the headlines have been taken up by the cricket. A lot happening. Really, Cricket Australia are the laughing stock of the cricketing world at the moment. And how about Tim Payne, 46 Australian skipper, the new Aussie skipper, kind of did a Steve Bradbury in many terms. And guy who was, you know, not even getting a game for Tasmania in the Sheffield Shield, he's now the Australian captain, so good on him. Thought Gaz was a little bit stiff, you know. Could have been a superhero story, you know. He's the GOAT, greatest of all time. And not only that, but boy, oh boy, you know, he was the groundskeeper at Adelaide Oval for a while and would have been a dream come true if he was the Aussie skipper. Definitely the millennials would have been getting around him with the nice Gary. Anyway, Australian cricket, it's in absolute shambles at the moment. Steve Smith returned to Australia just recently, did a press conference, quite emotional. Hard to see anyone go through the pain that he's going through, but considering he was putting the okay with the plan and the orchestrator, David Warner, probably looks like he'll be very unlikely to return to that Australian team again. But yeah, there's a lot of friction in between that line. No culture is what they're calling it. Mickey Arthur, the old Australian captain, he's came out and absolutely slammed the culture of the Australians. It's a hard place to be. The Pakistanis, I can tell you, they're celebrating, particularly Saheed Afridi, man who absolutely eats the ball like it's an apple. He's absolutely celebrating about this. But the high standard that the Australians have had for centuries, for years, should I say, has all kind of gone down the drain. And what about Steve Smith's reputation? Close numbers almost, you know, rivaling Bradman's. And now this, you know, entire year out of the game, it's going to be big, particularly for his reputation. And Weet-Bix, they dropped him as well. Unbelievable. Let's move on from the cricket because it's a little bit depressing. Let's go to AFL. Round two is getting underway. It was a grand final rematch last night. I tipped the Crows. The Crows got up very, very happy. Good to see Tex Walker back. Played very, very well indeed. But what about Matt Crouch, though? A little bit disappointing from him. 41 disposals last week. This week, only 13, but there was a reason for it. Did get injured. Little bit of a concern over him. Hopefully, he will be all right. Let's talk about some of the big games for this round. Well, Good Friday footy, it's back. Unfortunately, the Bulldogs have got the kick out of that. They are replaced by St Kilda, but North Melbourne still hold that title for Good Friday footy. I think the Saints will be getting up in this one. Good to see some young faces for the Saints. Hunter Clark, all of them playing really well. Jack Billings finally living up to the hype that he has provided through the draft, so good on him. We go to Carlton and Gold Coast. Well, look, if this game was being played in wet weather footy, this might actually be a rather close game. Maybe Carlton might have to keep the tap going at the bathroom at Etihad Stadium to make this one a relatively close one. I think the Blues looked really good last week against the reigning premiers. I reckon they're going to be getting up here by a fair bit. And look out for Charlie Curnow. Played exceptionally well. He'll play another good game and an important role in this game. We move to the Magpies and the Giants at the MCG. And despite the fact that the Magpies are at home and the Giants don't play a lot of footy at the G, I'm going to back the Giants in. They looked absolutely spot on last week. And Stephen Coniglio, if you don't have him in your super coach, you're insane. Get him in. He is absolutely, he's below 500. You got to get him in this round. The Pies, they almost need to put some tape around the ball and tamper with it in order for them to win this one. I don't see them swinging this result around. I think this could be a big result going to the Giants. Lions versus the D's. Luke Hodge up against up against Jordan Lewis. Both in different colours. Who would have thought you'd ever see this? I think the D's, well, they were gone last week, unfortunately, but I think this week they're going to bounce back and have a pretty big win and finally answer some of the critics' calls. Dockers versus the Dons, big game at the West. It's the Dockers' first home game at Optus Oval, as Liam O'Grady has probably been reminding you all week. The Dons are going to get up in this one. They're going to be comfortable at home. Zaki Merritt's going to play. Little concussion. People are saying three concussions in a short period of time. One major concussion on Friday night, and the other two have just been very minor. One of them was a migraine, so I wouldn't look too much into it. The Dockers blooding a bit of young talent from the draft, and good on them, because Ross Lyon isn't usually a man to play young kids in his side, so good on him for playing some of those draftees. Gee, aren't they brilliant? I think the Dockers will be good, but I think this game will follow the trend of Optus Stadium itself. All the men's home sides have not won a game there yet. Now we go to the Dogs versus the Eagles. Dogs really need to bounce back. They didn't look too good last week. Even my young star, Aaron Norton, got him in my super coach. Wasn't the best. Hoping for a better result this week from them. Be an interesting game, this one. Etihad Stadium. Eagles played really well at home last week. Almost upset the apple cart there, but didn't quite do it against the Swans. But I'm going to tip the Doggies here, not by much and not with a lot of confidence either. We move to an absolutely belting game at the SCG where the Swans come up against the Power, the Red Hot Power, but also the Red Hot Swannies. They're both on fire. You're going to need to bring a fire extinguisher along to this game. This is going to be an absolute beauty. What a matchup. Like, some of the recruits, and you got Dan Hannabury coming back in. You got Buddy Franklin looking in all-Australian ominous form again. This is going to be an absolute belter of a game. And I'll tell you what, if Luke Parker can kick another goal like that, he'll be in the Socceroos before you know it. He will be firing all shots from all places. I think Timmy Cahill's already pretty jealous and pretty nervous. And our final game of the round is the Easter Monday clash between the Cats and the Hawks. Gee, this is going to be an absolute beauty. I don't care what you say. Hawks are gone. I don't care. You know, Tom Mitchell versus Paddy Dangerfield coming back in. And you got Gary Ablett in that midfield running through, getting all the cheap disposals. But setting up play. And also Joel Selwood playing some great games. And how about Tim Kelly? He's been absolutely sensational. Watch out for him. If you don't have him in Supercoach, you're flipping mad. Get him in. He's cheap. And this is going to be a good game. But I think the Cats will be getting up in this one. They're far too good. Showed a lot last week. Well, that's pretty much it from me, guys. Look, been a great show already, I'm sure. And I've had a great time previewing all this kind of stuff. Look, I hope the cricket situation does get better. Matty Renshaw, Glenn Maxwell, and Big Joey Third Degree Burns all coming back into that squad. So they deserve a second go. They've all played at the highest test level before, and they all seem like pretty good guys. So get them in. Get one of the Bash brothers in. They can all hit a hard ball, and they deserve another go. And give Gazline the captaincy. Come on. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great Easter, and stay safe out there, guys. And, yeah, go the Mighty Dons.